Several weeks ago, we finished Isaiah chapter 40, one of those chapters in the Bible that I was just thrilled to get to preach. Why? Because it ministers so often words of comfort into the hearts and lives of us as people. And I've shared that with you many times. Well, what comes after Isaiah chapter 40 is chapter 41 through 48 is one of the sections here. And as I have read through this section of Scripture many times now, I look for themes and I look for what is it that God is wanting his people to understand in the context of comfort, in the context of he knows they need to hear from him and to be comforted by him, because in their lives there's a lot of turmoil and a lot of trouble. I just want to remind you that in Isaiah's day, he's ministering during the time of Hezekiah, most likely while he's writing this. Hezekiah is a godly king. He's seeking to bring many reforms to Judea. But there is still a big tension, if you will, between those that are fearing God and those that are worshiping idols. How do I know that? Well, because Hezekiah, when he dies, his son Manasseh takes the throne, and Manasseh is known as one of the most evil kings to ever rule Judea. How's that happen so quickly? Well, there is obviously an undercurrent of rebellion in the hearts of God's people. We know that God told Hezekiah through the prophet Isaiah that they would be taken into captivity by Babylon. It would be over 100 years until that would happen. Isaiah here, writing to people with that in their future, and also, I believe, understanding that his words are going to be something that are shared during the exile, while his people are in exile in a foreign land, under foreign gods, a foreign language, and the pressures are strong to compromise, to give up, to be afraid. Has God forgotten his people? He has not. And these chapters are a reminder, a reoccurring cycle of God rebuking his people for their idolatry and reminding them of his person, of his power, of his presence. One of the things that you will find in these chapters, 41 through 48, is this term, fear not. Chapter 41 and verse 1, keep silence before me, O islands, and let the people renew their strength. Let them come near, let them speak, let us come near together to judgment. Who raised up the righteous man from the east, called him to his foot, gave the nations before him, and made him rule over kings? He gave them as dust to his sword and as driven stubble to his bow. He pursued them and passed safely, even by the way that he had not gone with his feet. Who hath wrought and done it, calling the generations from the beginning? I, the Lord, the first and with the last, I am he. The isles saw it and feared. The ends of the earth were afraid, drew near and came. They helped everyone his neighbor, and everyone said to his brother, be of good courage. So the carpenter encouraged the goldsmith, and he that smootheth with the hammer him that smote the anvil, saying, it is ready for the soldering, and he fastened it with nails that it should not be moved. What's happening here? Well, God is bringing judgment upon his people. And God is putting together that coalition of armies to come and take his people. We know that Babylon will come and accomplishes the conquest in 586 BC. We also know that Babylon is conquered by the Medes and the Persians. And we know that God even names the ruler Cyrus here in the prophet Isaiah as the one who would be the ruler who would send his people back to Jerusalem. But here, what I believe God is wanting his people to know and understand, because you got to remember, the Gentile world was not the audience of these writings. They were not sitting around listening to Isaiah's prophecies. These were Judean people. And the question that goes forth in verse 4, who has wrought and done it? Who has done this? Calling the generations from the beginning. And the answer is, I, the Lord, the first, and with the last, I am He. And God wants His people to realize and to understand that He is over all and in control of all of these things. God wants His people to understand that even though they may be going into horrible situations and judgment because of their sin, this is all under the hand of God. God here speaks of Himself with a term that He obviously wants us to remember. I am the Lord, the first, and with the last. And I say He obviously wants us to remember it, because where else do we see such a title? In the book of Revelation, where on several instances Jesus introduces Himself as, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. I love the unity of the scriptures when we see such things, Old Testament, New Testament, and they lock fingers together. They belong together. They help us realize and rejoice that our Lord is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Who has done this? I, the Lord, the first and with the last. I am He. In verses 5 through 7, you see the responses of the Gentile nations as the conquering kings, the powers of the world at that time, came across nation after nation, and they tried to band together. They said, let's be of good courage. Let's make more idols. And they turned to their goldsmiths and their carpenters to try to make an idol great enough so that they might be delivered from these powers. And we know and understand, we've studied in Isaiah chapter 40 already, that the idols mean nothing. The idols do nothing. The idols rob from us. They take away. They do not give. They tire. They do not refresh. In verse 8 we read, but thou, Israel, art my servant, Jacob, whom I have chosen, the seed of Abraham, my friend. Now, what God is doing is a practice that we need to get good at. We need to be better at. Because He's dealing with a people who are in trouble, struggling, and what God is doing is He is telling them, listen, who am I? And who are you? Truth. How often are you in conversations with somebody who is in trouble? And they don't know what to do. They don't know what to say. Listen, Christian. Listen, church. You should know. We should know. Because God is our example. And time after time after time, He says, this is who I am. And this is who you are. We saw that in Isaiah chapter 40. And hear what He is telling them. This is who you are. You are my servant. You are the ones whom I have chosen. The seed of Abraham, my friend. So servant. Israel, my servant. Think through with me the history of Israel and how are they the servant of the living God? Well, we know and we understand that it is through the seed of Abraham that all the world will be blessed. We know that the Jewish people received the oracles of God. It was not the Gentile nations. It was the people of Israel that stood around Mount Sinai and received God's law. It was the people of Israel that had interaction with God in very personal and real ways for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years while the Gentiles looked on from a distance. Israel is God's servant because it is through Israel that God brings about his plan of redemption for the world. For the world. God chose Israel. They are precious in the sight of the Lord. They are his people. The seed of Abraham, he calls them. And then he says, Abraham is my friend. Huh. Wow. You know, that is a special title that is given and spoken of Abraham in several instances. Why is it included here? When you are in dark times, often, who's the first person you point your finger at and say it's your fault? God. We blame him. God, you knew about this. God, why am I in this trouble? God, if you're all powerful, why didn't you just take care of this and do? And you, down the line it goes. The spiral. And I could only imagine the people that God has in mind as he is writing this and giving this to Isaiah. He knows that they are in tough situations and they need to be reminded that they are a special people in God's sight. Their forefather Abraham is known by this, the friend of God. God is not going to abandon his friend. Now, we could look at the history of Israel, we could say, man, it seems like they had a lot of hard times. Did God ever give up on his people? Has God ever given up on his people? No. He's continued to pursue them and has a plan still for them. So, we come to verse 9. Thou whom I have taken from the ends of the earth, and called you from the chief men thereof, and said unto you, you are my servant, I have chosen you, and not cast you away. Remember, I have not cast you away. Remember, you are my servant. Remember, I have chosen you. These words of from our God to a people that he has chosen should ring in our hearts as the church today, as we will see in the New Testament. We, as God's people today, also hear these same words spoken of us. We are chosen of God. I want to show you in Ephesians chapter 1 to begin. Because I understand that we're not living in exile in Babylon today. I want you to understand that we might not feel like we are bombarded by idolatry like they were in Judea. I believe we are. I believe we are strangers on this earth, just a passing through. But you want to know who you are. As a follower of Jesus Christ, as his child, Paul writes to the church in Ephesus in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. According as he has chosen who? Us. According as he has chosen us in him, in Christ, before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us into the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he has abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who works all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ." Who are you? Go to 1 Peter. In 1 Peter chapter 1. As God ministered comfort into the lives of his people through Isaiah, God ministers comfort to us today, his church. Through the epistles, through these apostles as they write. And in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 1, "Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through the sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope, a living hope, by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein you greatly rejoice, though now," now get this, "though now for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, you love, in whom, though now you see him not, yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls." Israel, you are my servant. I have chosen you and not cast you away. So God says in Isaiah 41:10, fear thou not. For I am with you, be not dismayed. For I am thy God, I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. Yes, I will uphold you with the right hand of my righteousness. If this is a verse you have not come upon, I trust it's one that you will remember. I'll be honest, this verse was somewhat new to me until a couple of years ago. I think it was two children ago. As we were preparing, I should say, as my wife was preparing to give birth to our Evangeline, God had been working in her heart and dealing with her as far as the fears that she had as the birth approached. I cannot fully understand that entire adventure. And God allowed us to have a CD that put this verse to music. And this was something that my wife Julia wanted to have with us as we went to the hospital for the birth of our little one. And I remember as labor was progressing and this CD was playing, and I want you to understand something, that we love children. And we think the birth process is an incredible, an amazing miracle of God. But it's hard. And it's scary. But I watched God give my wife a strength I had never seen before. And that strength was not from me. That strength was not something from within her. It was the strength of God ministering into her heart these truths and comforted her heart, though the pain was real, her heart was comforted. Since that time, that verse continues to come back up, and it has been very crucial, even in our last pregnancy, as we have clung to this verse that God has so graciously brought to us. And you know, you have a verse in your life like that. It may not be Isaiah 41:10, but it might probably something else. Fear thou not, the Lord tells his people. One of the reasons I read 1 Peter for you is because it talks about manifold temptations, manifold trials. Though the trying of your faith, it talks about. Those people that Peter were writing to were in intense suffering, intense troubles and trials in their life. And how did his letter begin? You are elect. You are chosen by God. I've got an inheritance for you. It is reserved up in heaven. You are mine. Do not be afraid. The words aren't in there, but you can get the idea as you're reading through that. God does not want you to be afraid. He wants you to face these things head on with the confidence of knowing who he is and who you are in his sight. Church, this is the way we can make it. This is the way we're going to make it. This is the only way we're going to make it. Who is he? And who are you in his sight? How can you help a brother and sister? Who is he? And who are you in his sight? How did God help Job? A storm and a whirlwind comes and he speaks to Job and he says, Job, this is who I am and who you are. Fear thou not. He says those words, not just some cliche, not just to throw something out there, just to begin a conversation. These are meaningful words from the Almighty God. He doesn't want his people to be afraid. They have every right to be afraid. They have every right to feel forgotten. But yet, he wants them to know they are not forgotten. They have no reason to be afraid. I am with you, he says. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. Notice what he says. He gives the instruction, don't fear. And then he says, why? Because I'm with you. Think about that. How often did you have, you, if you have children, you took them for a walk in a strange place, a place you'd never gone before, and what happens? They cling close to you. That you hold hands together. And you turn to your child and you say, don't be afraid, I'm with you. Don't be afraid, I'm right here. And we do that because we are the adults, we're larger, we feel like we can have the control in the situation, but you know what? Here is God turning to his children and he's saying, listen, don't be afraid. Why? Because I'm here, I'm with you. He says, don't be dismayed. Why? I am your God. He's already made the case that these man-made idols out of gold and out of trees can do nothing. He's the only one. And he's your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. Yes, I will uphold you with the right hand of my righteousness. We need to believe our God, that he is able to strengthen us because he is all powerful. We need to believe that our God is able to help us because he is all-knowing and he knows everything about our lives. We need to believe that our God will uphold us with the right hand of his righteousness because he alone is holy and righteous. Verse 13 of the same chapter we read, for I, the Lord your God, will hold your right hand, saying unto you, fear not, I will help you. Fear not, you worm Jacob, you men of Israel, I will help you, saith the Lord, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. Well, church, this is a message God has for us today. Fear not. I will help you. Who are you in God's sight? Truth. What's the truth? Fill your mind with the truth. Who are you in God's sight, and who is your God? Lord Jesus, take it. Use it. It is yours. Your time, your people. Thank you and praise you for helping us and speaking to us today. In Jesus' name, amen.